Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 in the New American Standard is our foundational passage where God has been talking to us and unfolding and unpacking this word of aggressive kingdom advancement. And so it says, Matthew 11, verse 12, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. The Amplified of that says that the kingdom has been forcefully advancing. But then verse 13 says this, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So what happened when John was born? The prophecies ceased. When does a prophecy cease? When it's fulfilled. So when the kingdom of heaven began to forcefully advance, it was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So prophecy began to be fulfilled in the earth as the kingdom of God began to be declared and to advance. Look at Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up or heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. I'm going to pause right there. Let that soak in. The anointing is on us to bring good news to those who are afflicted, to heal people who are experiencing broken heart or soul wounds. And it says to proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners, and proclaim or declare the favorable year of God. Say, this is a favorable year of God. See, when we think about aggressive kingdom advancement, yes, we have to be aggressive, and we're going to read that definition shortly, but this is a time of favor. One of the things I was asking God, I was like, okay, as you are unpacking this word and as apostle is laying the foundation, I was like, what about what you told me in December? I was like, because you told me to share with the people to expect favor. And then you told me that we were walking in increased favor, increased wisdom, and increased stature. And I'm like, how does this relate? But here's what Holy Spirit told me. While we must have the unwavering, uncompromised attitude and mindset that's exhibited by our unrelenting pursuit of a goal or objective with that fierce determination, knowing that even in the face of great opposition, there's only one outcome, which is victory. While we are aggressively pursuing, knowing there's only one outcome, we can expect increased favor to bring that outcome to pass. We can expect increased wisdom to aggressively advance the kingdom and to step into the spheres of influence that he has assigned us to, and to adapt, to adjust, and to flip that thing to make it reflect the kingdom of God. It not only would take aggressiveness, but it takes an aggressive use of the wisdom of God. See, a lot of times we think about the wisdom of God, we think, because the scripture talks about the wisdom of God being peaceable and things like that, we get this sense of softness. The wisdom of God is not soft. The scripture said that there is a spirit of wisdom, counsel, and might, meaning that there is an anointing of wisdom, counsel, and might. All three of them went together, the wisdom, counsel, and might. And so he's told us that he's anointed us to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn in Zion, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting or heaviness. And they, the people that God uses us to minister to, will be called oaks of righteousness. Say, I'm anointed just for these times like this. I know it didn't sound grammatically correct, but I'm anointed for times like this. All this confusion that's going on, we're anointed just for this time. Now in Luke 2 and 52, it says, and Jesus kept increasing. Say, I keep increasing. I keep increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. There is a continual increase that God has released of wisdom, stature, and favor. Now, wisdom is the beginning of wisdom is the awe and fear of God. Wisdom is knowing exactly what to do in the time it needs to be done and know exactly how to do it. That only comes from God. Stature, even though a lot of times, and I know for me in the past, I read that scripture and thought about Jesus just getting taller. He was growing up. But Holy Spirit said stature refers also to prominence. So in this time, don't be surprised as you increase in prominence that people will begin to know you and know your name even more. Because God, just like Jesus prayed and said, Father, glorify your name, God knows that you are going to make his name known. So now he's putting you in places of prominence. Because in these cultural spheres of influence, there are influencers who are, you know, living that TikTok life. We are here. And now God is like, look, I'm about to take that whole thing and I'm going to position my believers to be like, we out here. To be the influencers of the influencers. That's what he said about Joseph. Joseph was a slave. And then he got, you know, he had got, because of the favor of God, he got promoted in a slavery position to be in charge of a jail. Then he gets out and goes to Potiphar's house. And then because he turned down the woman, he gets falsely accused. Now he's in jail again. And then after some period of time, he's out. And then he said, he made this statement that I thought was very interesting. He said, God has made me like a father to Pharaoh. Because of the favor of God and the wisdom of God on Joseph, he got put in a position to be the second highest person in Egypt, which at that time was the most prosperous country. And technically, he's still a slave and he's a foreigner. Doesn't really fit technically, but because of the favor and the wisdom of God, now he's in charge of people who technically should be owning him. And the person in charge of the entire country is getting counsel from him. And he says, God has made me like a father to him. I'm now mentoring and pouring into this leader of this entire nation, even though technically the title was slave. So you have to beware of this increased stature that you don't think is about titles and seeking title and position and physical promotion, but it's about positioning in the realm of the kingdom and supernatural promotion in the realm of the kingdom. God can promote you in the kingdom without you receiving a promotion in the earth on your job. See, a lot of times we try to correlate I got promoted in the kingdom. So then we look at our supervisors like, what up? You know I'm supposed to get more than a 2% raise. But see, it's not the same thing. That's why we have to be open to what God is saying in this moment and in this season, because we'll miss him because we'll think he's coming one way when he's actually moving in a totally different way. Hallelujah. And I really want to emphasize to you that we are on assignment in these different spheres of influence, and we need to stop waiting for Sundays and Wednesdays and stop waiting for church. Because at Ayers, we don't do church anyway, sorry. We do gatherings and encounters. And I tell my clients, I do experiences. So, sorry. We don't do church. We are the church. And so you can stop waiting and recognize that you have been sent already. Some people are waiting to be sent, to be commissioned, for hands to be laid on them. God already sent you. He already commissioned you. And my hands won't do nothing more than what Isaiah 61 has already done. So I want you to understand that there's a correlation of the fulfillment of the purposes and destiny for our lives as individuals to the fulfillment of purposes and destiny of our lives collectively and aggressive kingdom advancement. See, some folks are trying to isolate themselves, talking about, well, I need to fulfill my purpose. Yes, you do, but God has called you to fulfill it, and he has placed you in a community of people who will love on you, support you, and walk with you, because you need community, because it says he sent us out like sheep in the midst of wolves, and the sheep by himself gets ate. And so he puts you in this community so we can support, love one another, and grow and edify itself in love. And in that community, he places apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers to mature us for the work of the ministry, which is the fulfillment of our purposes and destiny, the calling that's on our life. And as we do that, we advance the kingdom of God. And advancing the kingdom of God is not passing out tracts and knocking on doors. Now, while we may go knock on your door to pray for you, because we coming, for real. But it's about also going to the place where he sent us. So, you know, I work for Jesus directly now, but I still get up at the same certain time and go in there and have a business meeting with the CEO of my company and say, what are we going to do today? And then I start trying to talk to people, and I'm giving them the opportunity to receive this wisdom that God is releasing. But some of you have to work for Jesus through another person. And so when you get up and go to that workplace and they try to tell you, put the mask on and all of that, you go in there, but you understand you may be the one who's in charge here, and you may be the one that signs my check, but I'm directly working for Jesus because I'm on assignment. And I'm here to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Your company is going to be profitable because I'm here, because the anointing is on me. And while I'm here, I'm going to ignite faith and I'm going to ignite hope, because we're not going to be in here complaining about the vaccines or complaining about the culture or complaining about AOC talking about the governor of Florida and some reporter talking about her boyfriend's feet and her saying the Republicans have sexual tension towards her. We're not thinking about the foolishness of people in position who are acting immature because they're not my savior. I heard someone say the other day that when a person gets desperate, they begin to look for a savior, and that desperation and search for a savior leaves them open to be deceived. I'm not desperate, and I'm not going to be deceived, because I already know who my Savior is. I don't have to look for him, because he walks with me and he talks with me. And we spend time every day. Every day. And so, in Marcia, you prophesied my next scripture. In Ephesians 1 and 20, it says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. Don't let the fake, well, I can't say, well, fake news. Don't let the real news. Don't let people's opinions and reactions to the news. Because, you know, on YouTube, everybody got a video reacting to a video. Don't let any of that concern you or cause you to doubt the power of God that's working in you and for you. It says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. Say them all. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Say constantly. So constantly the supernatural power of God is available to energize us. And if you're feeling tired, worn out, burned out on religion, receive the unforced rhythms of grace. And I'm going to just tell you, if you're feeling tired, burned out on how things have been disrupted, receive the unforced rhythms of grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Because many people have a picture or a narrative of what advancing the kingdom is supposed to look like and what it's going to look like. But the Lord told me it's bigger than you think. So the way it manifests will be different than we have pictured or imagined. And we must be open to what he's saying and doing. Right now, in this moment. Hallelujah. This is what, I'm going to say two statements to you, and then, you know, because I'm editing on the fly. Then we're going to go to Daniel chapter 6. Well, actually, Daniel chapter 1, then Daniel chapter 6. I want to tell you this to you. Do not get caught into overthinking or what I call analysis paralysis, where you are frozen in your thought life trying to figure it out and you can't make a move because you're just thinking, trying to get an answer, And sometimes we spiritualize it like I'm praying and I'm believing for strategy. Yes, we are. But sooner or later, you got to understand if because you got to trust in your ability to hear God. And sooner or later, you got to understand that the little bit he gave you is probably all he's giving you for right now. So you got to get moving. Because what did he tell Abraham? He said, go to the place I will show you. He didn't give him the exact directions. He didn't say, go over here to this place. He said, go to the place I will show you. Sometimes some of you are still waiting on strategy when the little piece you got that you're questioning, you just need to act on it. And because you haven't acted on it, you haven't heard or received the next step because you haven't taken step one and you're waiting to hear step one through 10. I just feel this strong prophetic anointing to say, stop it. This is what Bill Johnson said. He says, sometimes we as believers have more faith in our ability to fail than God's ability to lead us. Because we're so scared to make a mistake. We're so scared that we're going to miss God. We're so scared that we're going to lose money. We're so scared that we won't have money. And then where am I going to eat? It's too cold for me to be outside. It's 19 degrees in the city of God. It's 19 degrees. You cannot be afraid. God has not given you the spirit of fear. He's given you the spirit of power, which is the supernatural power that we just read about. Which is the same supernatural power that every time God does something is demonstrated and written about. Not the power to shout, but the power for supernatural miracles to occur. That's the power that's on your life. And the power that enforces the covenant, your covenant rights as a believer. He's given you that spirit of power, then of love and a sound mind. So you don't have to worry about missing God as long as you are seeking him, because he's going to make crooked paths straight. So stop pausing. Stop isolating, talking about I need to hear God. It's one thing to take a sabbatical. It's another thing to lock yourself in your own personal lockdown, because God hasn't called you to do that. And I'm just going to tell you, I wasn't in there in the conversation, but Holy Spirit was. And I'm telling you, he is saying he didn't tell you that. And y'all, and I said it funny, but it's real. I sense that people are saying Holy Spirit told me to lock in and blah, blah. He ain't tell you that. He can speak to you in your personal prayer time. Get back around the saints he's placed you with. Because some of what you're trying to hear, you won't hear until you are in the company of the believers who are holding the word, waiting to see you. Some of them folks are on assignment to speak a word to you, like Ananias was on assignment to lay hands on Paul. But you ain't around. And I'm not just talking about here in this city. I'm talking about whatever city you in watching online. Stop hiding. Glory to God. Ooh-wee. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to just tell you this prophetically. Some of you or some of us have been, it's like in Joshua 6. I know I say I'm going to go to Daniel, but let me follow Holy Spirit. You know how in Joshua 6, verse 10, Joshua told the people, you should not shout nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed from your mouth until the day I tell you. The day I tell you, shout, then you shall shout. Because you know that was during a time where he was given the instruction that God had told him, here's a strategy to take Jericho. Say Jericho. So Jericho could be your sphere of influence. And it was greatly shut up. Meaning nobody's going in, nobody's going out. They were on their own COVID lockdown. And because they, but they weren't locking down because of a virus. They were locking down because of the fear of the Lord preceded his people. Now, some of you have been wondering, why has been up to this point, why has it been challenging to break through in this particular industry or sphere? It's because the fear of the Lord has preceded you and folks are scared. And I would tell you, it's not really the folks scared. It's the demons that are motivating the folks that are scared. Let me make that a little clearer. And God gave them a strategy. He said, you gon' for 6 days, you're going to walk around one time a day and don't say nothing. But check this. They were in the land. They were in their sphere. They circled it and didn't release a sound. Some of you have been planted up to this point, and the key is up to this point. You've been planted up to this point, and you've been in a sphere of influence, whether it be education, government, family, what have you, politics, arts and entertainment, and you've been placed there, and it's almost like God has kept you silent. It's almost like your voice wasn't heard. It was like, if they would just listen to me, things would be better. But it's like, shh, they're not hearing me. It was almost like, you know, them folks be like, y'all don't hear me. You know, it was like that. But there came a day when the silent circling ended. And there came a day when they circled that one last time, and Joshua said, shout, and all the people shouted, and there was a sound of the ram's horn with it that caused the walls to fall down. And then they ran in, because Joshua said, the Lord has given us the city. Some of you, it is time for you to release the sound of and release what God has placed in you, in the spirit that you have been assigned, as well as in your family, because the Lord has given you that territory. You may have had a season of silence before, but it was to circle. And I believe that circling was bringing intimidation to the enemy, because it was like, what these dudes doing? Some of your silence was to confound the enemy and those principalities that were trying to dominate that particular area, because they didn't know what you were doing. Because imagine if your eyes were as open as we would like them to be. Imagine what you would see in the realm of the spirit. They would see you being silent, but glory reflecting off of you. They would see angelic host, because the army of God is called the host of heaven, which is a different from an angel. So they would see the host of heaven, and then they would see other angels moving. Now, contrary to popular belief, demonic forces are not all-knowing, they are not all-powerful, and they can only be one place at a time. They're not God. They cannot read your mind. They don't know the thoughts you think. They only know the thoughts they try to send to you through suggestions. Like somebody trying to whisper in your ear. Hey, it's the whisper song. You know, what was that back in the day? There was a whisper song where the dudes was rapping the whole song, whispering. Ah, da, 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 da. That's what they try to do to bring suggestion. But they don't know what's in your head. So I assume that the enemy was getting real confused in these areas. And now is the time where we release the sound, because the terror of God has been released. And don't look for people to be scared. Recognize the spiritual influence, because we're talking about the kingdom where we have authority to impact the natural and spiritual realms through the authority God has given us as his ambassadors. So there are demonic forces fleeing in terror because now they see you opening up your mouth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So in order to disrupt these systems, we'll actually take advantage of the disruption that has occurred. We have to use the wisdom of God. We have to follow his divine patterns and be aggressive enough to implement what he has revealed to us consistently. I just heard him say consistently after I read that. Consistently. Not saying I did it one time and then, oops, that didn't work. I did it once. Mm-mm. Consistently. Say consistently. Consistently. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, to wrap this up, recognize that you've been assigned. There are 7 cultural spheres of influence: family, government, education, what we call religion, business, economics, media, arts, and entertainment. Recognize that you have been assigned to one or more of these areas. And that the grace of God is on you, the power of God is on you to release the heavenly sound in those places and to dominate those spheres. And as you look to dominate those places, expect an increased flow of wisdom that already has been released. Expect increased stature for people to know your name and to be drawn to you and expect increased favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.